points. And just to get us back into the groove here, let's go to the four anchor points that we've already shared in the previous three messages, and then add another anchor point. Let's read these together, all right? Number one anchor point, our Heavenly Father is not far from any of us. Anchor point number two, it's all about Jesus Christ, His Son. Anchor point number three, the presence of the Holy Spirit is essential. So we got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our first three anchor points. Now, if you got three anchors on your boat, you're pretty solid. But we're going to throw another anchor into the water. And we got anchor point number four. And this is where you all come in. Everyone in this room that names the name of Jesus Christ is embedded in this statement. The church is the body of Christ. If you name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are part of the body of Christ. Now, that's big. Now, I want to read to you Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, which is another lengthy passage, but I think you can handle it. And here's Paul writing his letter to the Ephesians, and he's starting to get more personal now. He's stated the most deep theology that you can imagine in the first 14 verses. Now he's getting down with prayer. He says, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly." Now remember, he's praying for the Ephesians church. Ephesians was a rugged little town, let me tell you. Asking God, let's see, "I have not stopped thanking God for you, for I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance." Did you just hear that? You are God's inheritance. Usually the shoe's on the other foot. His inheritance is ours, but we are his inheritance. "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power." There you go. "For us who believe in him, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." Remember, Resurrection Day is coming, isn't it? "And sealed him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. He is Lord of Lords." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Jesus is Lord of Lords." All right. "God has put all things under the authority of Christ." Was that some of the things? No, it's all things. "And has made him head over all things." Now get this next statement, "for the benefit of the church." So you're telling me that Jesus has been the Lord of Lords, everything in the universe has been given this authority for the benefit of us? Either that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, or it's the most phenomenal thing I've ever heard in my life. For the benefit of the church. Wow. All right, so now we're going to get down to what it says here about the body. It says, "And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself." Whew. Isn't that something? That almost makes me want to break out in a sweat. I mean, really. All of this blessing that Christ has, full authority over every nook and cranny of the universe, and it's for our benefit. Let's pray. Father, we are astounded. Our world is rocked by that statement that you've done all these things for the benefit of the church. And we being the body, your body, we receive those benefits, Lord. We thank you for every one of them. And so, Lord, speak to every heart in this body, Lord, that we would be the members that you want us to be. The hands, the feet, the arms, the toes, the fingers, the mouth, the eyes. Lord, help us to be all these things for you, for the glory of Jesus Christ and for your blessing. Amen. Amen. Now, let me read one other thing here from 1 Corinthians 12:27, just to get the point across. All of you together are Christ's body. All of you together are Christ's body. All right? And each of you is part of it. All right. So can you just say right now, "I receive my place in the body. I am in the body of Christ." All right. Now, we live in a world that is loaded with disunity. Come on. You turn on NBC News. Our politicians are anything but unified. Our politics are disunified. Divorce courts are packed. Why? Disunity. The economy. One guy is saying it's all prosperity. The next guy is saying we're going broke. You know, and if you're going to put your anchor point into our economy, somebody said everything's coming back. So it's all roses and blessing. But, you know, 10 minutes later, what's going to happen? So there's no anchor point there at all. Religion, come on. Even the Christians don't even get along. So there's disunity upon disunity upon disunity. But let me just tell you that Jesus Christ became a human being. The second person of the Godhead became a human being to reconcile all of this disunity. He has come to make us unified. He is the unifier. Did you notice the title of the sermon? It's called The Unifier's Body. Okay? So let's just establish right now that Jesus Christ is the head of this body. He is the unifier. And through his blood, through his work, through the power of the resurrection, he has reconciled us to the living God. Talk about disunity. In our sins with the holy God, we're disunified. But Christ has made a bridge for us, hasn't he? He has created unity between us and the Father. He has created unity with each one of us, loving our neighbor as ourself. Isn't that a good thing? You know, well, you don't know my neighbors, Frank. No, that's what we're going to be talking about. He has unified us with nature. When you're walking with Jesus, you're one with nature. Did you know that? He's reconciled. That's why nature is standing on its tippy toes. The whole creation is standing on its tippy toes, trying to figure out what's going on with the sons of God. And then fourthly, he's actually unified us with our own schizophrenia and our bipolar natures. He's just unifying everybody. And by doing all these things from every point, he's brought that unity, and now we can say we're unified. But yet, we know there's a big disconnect. A lot of us feel alienated. Have you ever used this expression about yourself? I'm just a round peg in a square hole. Have you ever used that expression? I feel unwelcomed. What am I doing here? What? But Jesus actually is saying, you are welcomed. But there's something in our souls that are saying, I'm not welcomed. I feel alienated. I feel strange. I want to run for it. But let me tell you today that that unity that Jesus promised is being established, and it's in his body. It's the body of Christ that's unified. Now, let's go to this introduction down here in your notes. Because what happens when a body doesn't have a head? You get mindless religion, okay? And some of the churches are not even acknowledging the head. They're just saying we're the body of Christ. We're not really saying that Jesus is the head. They've lost their way. So it's mindless religion. And the last thing that any of us need in this room is mindless religion. So the head is essential to the body. But look at this other side of this thing. Look at this. It says, what happens when the head has no body? Well, we've got brilliance. We've got plans. We've got guidance. We've got strategy. But there's nothing to guide. And so write this down. There's no progress or relevance. You're the body of Christ. The head needs you, or there's no progress, no relevance. There's no hands, there's no feet, there's no tongue to proclaim the glory of God on earth. So all these things have been done, the authorization of Jesus Christ over all things, for your benefit. Now, how are we doing with that? Y'all remember this? I had just come to town in 2007, and I said to the pastors, why don't we apologize to the town? Yeah, I came up with a brilliant idea. Let's apologize. Let's buy a sheet, a page of the Red Rock News, and you know how influential this is. Let's buy a page of the paper, because as I was getting used to Sedona, you know, I'd lived here for about 6 months, I'm saying, you know, I think there's about 1,000 believers in this town that love the head, but that have disconnected from the body. They don't go to church anymore. They've lost confidence in the body. So where's the body? You know, I look out at the congregation right now, and in both services, there are missing elements to our body because they're not here. They're at home. They love Jesus, but they don't love the church. Are you hearing me? They've become disgusted with the church. There's too many weird people that go to the church. And so this is what we did. Now, I always get an amen on that point. It says here, can you read this? It says, Jesus called, he wants his body back. Jesus called, and here it is, an open letter to all the former attendees of the churches of Sedona. Dear followers of Jesus, we publish this letter with one goal in mind, to encourage all Christians in Sedona who have disconnected from the churches of our town or elsewhere to come home. You are deeply missed. We call upon you to reunite with us as the body of Christ in Sedona. If there's anything we have done to cause your separation from the local churches, we ask for your forgiveness. If we were arrogant or indifferent with you, we publicly apologize. We promise, despite our imperfections, to do our best to bring healing, growth, and blessing to our future relations. Please give us a second chance. And it's signed by six pastors. There's Pastor Carl Gerritsen, Pastor Paul Wallace, Pastor Frank Robinson, Pastor Gordon Story, Pastor Jeff Brenneman, and Pastor Ken Nichols. And I'd like to tell you that after this was published, every church in town was packed with people, praising the Lord with all their might. But that is exactly the opposite of what happened. We published this and editorials for the next 6 months. All the poison, all the toxicity that you could imagine was being poured out at the churches. One of the pastors' jobs were threatened because the board was saying, we can't handle this. Can you imagine? And it wasn't the New Agers. It wasn't the Buddhists. It wasn't the Hindus. It wasn't the gurus. It was Christians. How dare you apologize? We're never coming back. You hurt us. They're not lost. They are not lost. We're going to keep trying. Now, here's the thing. There was a man named Jacob. He was the son of Isaac. He was the grandson of Abraham, the greatest of all the patriarchs. He got in a little row with his brother Esau. You don't mess with Esau. Esau is a dangerous man. He has to leave town. He goes up to Uncle Laban's place, a couple hundred miles away. He doesn't know about Uncle Laban's daughters. He gets one sight of Rachel, and he is blown away. I mean, he is smitten. This woman is beautiful. So he goes to Uncle Laban and says, I'd like to marry your daughter. Laban says, all right, you work for me as a slave for 7 years, you can have her. And Jacob, it says that it was like nothing. It wasn't like 7 years at all. He was going to have his Rachel. It was the wedding day. Now remember, no electricity, right? Sun's going down. They've had festivities all day. The bridal tent is a little bit outside of the camp. Sun's going down. It's getting dark. It's time to have a honeymoon. He goes to the bridal tent. They have a honeymoon. At dawn, the light begins to filter into the tent. He can't believe what he's seeing. Oh, my gosh. Leah, it turns out that it's Rachel's older daughter, sister. Her older sister, Leah, is in the tent with him. What gives? It was a bait and switch, wasn't it? And Laban says, well, I got to marry off my oldest daughter before I can marry the younger daughter off. He can't believe it. He says, all right, but I still love Rachel. He says, all right, work for me as a slave for 7 more years, you can have Rachel. Meanwhile, he and Leah start having babies. And she's really good at birthing babies. You have, how many sons did Jacob have? 12, the 12 patriarchs. And so the 12 sons, 6 of those sons were birthed by Leah. One daughter was birthed by Leah. She was productive. But you know what? He never loved her. He just tolerated her. That's the way it was. Now, when you go to the wedding counselor, okay, you know, and let's say you're back when you were young and you're smitten and you've met the most beautiful man or woman, and you are going to the wedding counselor, and he says something really weird to you. He says, when you say, I do, you get two. What does he mean by that? Because my Rachel, my beautiful Rachel, there is no woman on earth like my Rachel. And she doesn't do anything wrong. She doesn't snore. She doesn't belch. She doesn't do anything like that because she's my beautiful Rachel. But then what the counselor meant was, after you get past your idealized Rachel, you meet Leah, who belches and snores, you know, and squeezes the toothpaste in the middle. You know what I'm saying? Now keep that in mind. Because every one of you that is married know what I'm talking about. And you got married because you're saying, you know, I just don't feel complete in life. I feel like I don't fit. I feel like a round peg in a square hole. Maybe if I marry the right person, I will feel complete. I will feel unified. But then you find out that idealized person becomes the real person. So you get two. You get Rachel and Leah. Now, let's move it up a notch. Can I move it up now to another notch here? When you become a Christian, when you confess Jesus as your Lord, it blows your mind. If you go through a genuine conversion experience, you're saying to yourself, I can't believe what's happened to me. I love Jesus Christ. He's my Rachel. I'll be a slave for 1,000 years to make him my Lord. I really love Rachel. But nobody told you about Leah waiting in the tent, did they? You know who Leah is? The church! You get Jesus, you get the head, you get the body. And you know what? A lot of people can't handle the church. It's Leah. The church belches. The church snores. The church squeezes the toothpaste in the middle. You look around here, look at all the diversity we've got in here, you know? We got old people, we got young people, we got educated people, we got illiterate people, we got everybody in this room. You know, we got every kind of person, so much diversity. And Jesus is saying, all right, y'all be a body, get coordinated. And, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm going to sit over here because I know Mrs. So-and-so sits over there. I'm going to sit as far away from her as possible. In other words, we're tolerating Leah. We're not loving Leah. We're tolerating Leah. You know, and we're saying, well, I got a little bit of semblance of happiness by tolerating Leah. I know that as a Christian, I've got to go to church. But I really don't like it that much. Weird people go there. Amen. Yeah. You know? So, look at the facts, though. If you take the Bible and you go all the way back to Leah's line, her son was Judah. And Judah was the great-great-great-grandfather of David. And David was the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of who? Jesus himself. Leah is a direct descendant of Jesus Christ. Rachel is his great-aunt. Think about it for a second. Jesus loves Leah. Jesus will benefit Leah in every way. He is smitten by Leah. Are you hearing me, brothers and sisters? We got to get along. If we're good enough for Jesus, come on. You know, and some petty little thing comes up, and you get all bent out of shape, and you say, you know what? I'm going to punish the church. One guy said, I'm going to withhold my tithes. Give me a break. I'll be sure to inform God that you're withholding your tithes, you know. You know, people do the craziest things in the church. When are we going to get our heads on straight and really be the body of Christ? Because the body of Christ is growing because healthy bodies grow. And we've got to be right. You know, in the last service, we had two film crews in here. It was weird. Zachy Gordon Film School sent over a kid. This kid has a vision. He said, I'm an atheist and I'm trying to find God. Would you let me use your church for my project? I said, absolutely. He's asking me questions like, well, how do you become a Christian? I'm an atheist. Yeah, we decided he wasn't an atheist after he talked to me for about 30 seconds, you know. and his whole team was there, you know, and they're all filming, you know, it's Cecil B. DeMille going on here. And then there's another film crew. They're making a documentary about an atheist search for God in an evangelical church. The other film crew is making a documentary of them making the documentary. It was funny. It was very funny. By the way, they had, if your image won't be in the film unless you signed a release. So they, you know, they were very careful about not stepping on anybody's toes. But they were here, and Leo was here. And I'm just wondering what their impression was of Leah, you know, because I could just see them trying to get out of the parking lot. And Leah is like waving the middle finger as she's leaving, you know, whatever. Come on, church, you know what I'm talking about here. I've already made my point in the sermon. Jesus loves Leah. Here's the bigger point. When you tolerate Leah, you're happy. When you love Leah, you're holy. Are you hearing me? When you love Leah, you're holy. Jesus chose Leah. Let's get this done. So what does the body need? I've got a few more points here. I don't want to take all your time, but what does the body need? Number one, it needs prayer and needs prayer. It needs prayer and needs to pray is what I'm saying. It needs prayer. Now, a lot of people come to church and they're going, well, I'm going to get some prayer for me because my situation, I go to the church to pray. But does anybody pray for the church? You see, Paul was praying for the church. He's praying for a lot of different dynamics to come in the church. Look at these different dynamics. He was praying for spiritual wisdom, insight, supernatural insight into what is going on. That's what we need right now. You know, we're kind of clueless right now about how to minister. The Holy Spirit gives us insight and wisdom. He gives us signs, doesn't he? Yeah, he does. And then it says, for a fuller revelation of God's knowledge. Really, every time we get together to worship the Lord, we're here to get a bigger revelation of God. That's what we're after. Because the theory here is that the greater the revelation, the greater and deeper the ministry. And so I'm hoping you're here not just to be prayed for, but you're praying for this ministry, that we can reach out to the world and bring more wisdom into it and also the revelation of God. And out of that, we get a stronger hope. Now, we're Leah, right? We're bringing this message out. We're imperfect. We're not so beautiful. We have some flaws, but we have an intense hope that makes a compelling difference with people. And where are you going to put your hope anyway? I just mentioned the economy. Is that something you can build your hope on? I don't think so. Don't you remember 2008, friends? It can happen any minute. Put your hope on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ, and that's what Paul is praying for, a strong hope. You're saying, Frank, you don't understand my circumstances right now. It's a hopeless situation. I want to tell you right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, nothing is more hopeless than the grace of God. God's grace is deeper. Somebody says, I've got cancer. I'm telling you, God's grace is deeper than cancer. God's grace is deeper than it all. And he's Lord of everything. There's no missing part. We pray to receive that growing wisdom. That's what we need. Please pray for the church. Pray for Christ Center. Pray for, by the way, you know, when God looks down at Sedona, does he see Christ Center and he sees Wayside Church and he sees Crestview and he sees Solid? Does he really see that? No, he sees the church in Sedona, doesn't he? You know, the seven churches, it wasn't the church on the block, you know, 7th and Mustang or whatever it was. It was the church of Laodicea or whatever. He was looking at the whole town. And so we're all here together. We need to pray for our pastors. We need to pray for our boards. We need to pray for our properties, our land holdings. What are we going to do with these things? Those things can drive you out of your mind. Why in the world would anybody deal with real estate? It's crazy. Secondly, the body needs double love. What is this double love? Well, it's also known as the great commandment, isn't it? The two great commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. This is the distinction. Now, it's like if you don't have a head, what good is the body? If you don't have a body, what good is the head? It's the same thing with this love. You know, you love your neighbors, but you don't necessarily love God. It ain't going to work. If you love God and you're isolated from your neighbors, it's not going to work. It has to be a double portion of God's love. What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. And that's the love that we have to demonstrate to this watching world known as Sedona and VOC and the outreaching environs. That's what we're after. So grow daily in the love of God and grow daily in the love of neighbors. Is that easy? When it's Rachel, it's easy. It's easy to love Rachel. But let me tell you, there's a lot of Leahs around here. You know, and Jesus would love them. Keep that in mind. Final point, it needs God's power. Now, we were talking about the resurrection power. This is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is the power that is blessing the church right now. Are we harnessing that power? I don't think so. We're just scratching the surface. But I want to see that power demonstrated, and it's the power of love. It's the power that will love Leah wherever she goes. Bring her back into the fold. We got 1,000 confessing Christians that don't go to church because they've lost confidence in the church. You know, and I made that statement in 2008. It's 2013. There's still 1,000 confessing Christians that haven't found the body. We need to reach out to them. Amen? Come on. This is where the rubber's meeting the road now. And then Christ's full authority. Now, here's the thing about Leah. She was amazingly productive, wasn't she? I believe the church can be amazingly productive, spiritually speaking. I'm not talking about birthing babies here. I'm talking about being amazingly spiritually productive. And that means we've got to take this love out of this building. We've got to take everything that we have out of this building. It's not helping us to be in the building, really. We need to be the church without walls. Amen? And then we can come in the authority. You know, the Bible really tells us that the greatest authority on earth is not any government. It's the church. Didn't you read that just now? Now, I could go into Rob Adams' office right now. Mayor Rob Adams, you all know him? Burst into his room and say, you know what? Scoot over, buddy. I've got more authority than your little mayor thing. I'm a man of Christ. You know, I'm a pastor. But I don't do that because the Holy Spirit doesn't guide me that way. But what I can do is go into Rob Adams' office, like I have done before, and I say, Rob, how can we pray for you? You know? And by the way, in the authority of Jesus Christ, bring the blessing of God down on the government of Sedona. Bring it down in Washington, D.C. Bring the Holy Spirit down. We can pray in that kind of authority. Own the authority that you have. All this authority was given to Christ for your benefit. Will you please take it? Who's going to take it? You stand up then. You stand up and take this authority. Father, I want to pray for those that are standing up right now and they're saying, yes, I understand what the Word of God says. Lord, for right now, I'm asking you that you would pour out your blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit to everyone that stood here and said, I want that power and I want that authority. I want to be free. So set me free, Lord, in that, and give me some boldness. Help me to walk into Rob Adams' office and pray for him because you are authorized. Lord, thank you for your authority, and thank you for the power of the resurrection that is coursing through this church right now. And we look forward to all that you're going to do. Give us an outbreak, a breakthrough, Lord. Just burst out of this building with the love of Jesus Christ, the double love, and let us go out as Leah and love others as you have loved us in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Uh-oh.
Well, we're
going to end with something a little different than the other, because I was just listening to Pastor, and I thought, you know, he's got the whole world in his hand. Thank you.
In his hand, he's got the you and me, sister. In his hand, he's got you and me, brother. In his hand, he's got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. His hand. In his hand. The whole world. Got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his
hand. Amen. You know, with Cheryl, you never know what's going to come out. Anyway, I love that song. When are we going to sing Jesus Loves Me? All right, okay. I thought that might be on the list. All right, we've heard the word of God. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to go to lunch, and by 3 o'clock, you'll forget everything I've said. I'm going to call you up at 3 o'clock. I hope you remember what this message was about. Love Leah. By the way, you are Leah, so why not? Father, bless your people as they go from this place. Help them to be the salt and light that Sedona, that VOC, that Cottonwood needs today. Lord, help them to go in the confidence that they have been benefited directly by the authority of Jesus Christ. Help them to go in that authority now in confidence in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in God's grace. God bless you.